Transgender identification in college youth is at an all-time high, but may be reaching a plateau. Recent commentaries of a free fall in trans identification are limited by biased survey questions and questionable weights. Note, this spotlight has been updated on February 2, 2026. A new section on transgender identification among graduate students has been added. The remainder of the text remains largely unchanged, with the exception of the added references to the graduate student data findings. Recent strong claims of a free fall in transgender identification among U.S. youth may have been greatly exaggerated. SEGM's analysis of a large sample of U.S. college students, average age 20, over time suggests that trans non-binary identification is at an all-time high as of spring 2025, ranging from 4.7 to 6.7%. The margin of error is about 0.2%. However, there is tentative evidence of a plateau, driven primarily by a flattening of the rate of non-binary identification among undergraduate students. Cross-sex identification, which is much rarer than non-binary identification, appears to remain on the rise, especially among females who identify as trans men. Our analysis of the graduate student data, average age 28, also shows all-time high rates of transgender identification as of spring 2025, ranging from 2.7 to 4.6%. The margin of error is about 0.4%. But unlike the undergraduate data, these rates have continued to climb with no evidence of plateau. Our finding that the incidence of trans, non-binary identification among undergraduate college youth may be plateauing, but not sharply declining as previously reported, might not generalize to non-college youth. This warrants further analysis comparing both groups. At the same time, we show that the recent reports by Kaufman and Twenge of a sharp decline in transgender non-binary identification among U.S. youth are unreliable due to problematic question wordings and reliance on statistical weights applied to a very small population, we present our analysis below. In the SEGM takeaway, we reflect on the difficulties in quantifying the prevalence of transgender identification using survey data and on the strengths and limitations of relying on non-peer-reviewed sources to discuss important public health trends. We have divided the spotlight in three sections for ease of access. Findings from the National College Health Assessment Data, Undergraduate Report 2. Findings from the National College Health Assessment Data, Graduate and Professional Report 3. Why do our findings differ from recent reports? 4. SEGM takeaway. A findings from the National College Health Assessment Data, Undergraduate Report. National College Health Assessment undergraduate data come from large twice-yearly surveys, averaging about 57,000 respondents in spring and 30,000 in fall. The average age of undergraduate respondents is 20, and 70% are female. As of spring 2025, transgender non-binary identification among the surveyed undergraduates has reached an all-time high of 4.7 to 6.7%. At the same time, the trend shows signs of nearing a plateau, largely driven by stabilization in non-binary identification rates. The rate of non-cisgender identification in college-aged females, 8.1%, continues to markedly exceed those of males, 4.7%. 1. The proportion of U.S. college students self-identifying as transgender continues to increase, according to the data published by the American College Health Association's National College Health Assessment. The proportion of students self-reporting a transgender identity has risen steadily, reaching 4.7%, almost 1 in 20, as of spring 2025, see Figure 1. Figure 1. The American College Health Association's National College Health Assessment, ACHA-NCHA, has surveyed 2.5 million students at more than 1,000 higher education institutions over the last 25 years. The survey is done every spring and fall, with the spring wave averaging 57,000 respondents and the fall wave averaging 30,000 respondents. The respondents' average age is 20, and 70% of respondents are female. CHANSHA has asked students about transgender identification since its inception in 2000, when it reported a prevalence of 0.1%. Until spring 2015, transgendered was one of the possible answers to the question, "What is your gender?" Starting in fall 2015, the question wording changed to, "Do you identify as transgender?" This finding has limitations, largely stemming from the methodology for this sample, Not all college campuses participated, and students could self-select. One of the most obvious limitations is that female students were more likely to participate than the male students. And since women were also more likely to report a transgender identity, see figure 4 below, the overall rate of trans identification is overestimated. However, the female response bias is consistent across years and does not distort the trend, which continues to climb. 2. The number of students who identify as non-binary other is much greater than those who identify as trans man or trans woman, but appear to have reached a plateau. Another HA-NCHA survey question asked participants, which term do you use to describe your gender identity? Alongside woman or female and man or male, students could also select trans man, trans woman, or non-binary type identities such as non-binary, genderqueer, gender fluid, and agender. As the data below demonstrate, students with non-binary type transgender identities far outnumber those with binary transgender identities. As of 2025, this identity is hovering at levels that are nearly 4 times higher than a decade ago. At the same time, the non-binary type trans cis identification appears to have plateaued since approximately 2022. See figure 2. Figure 2. While the rate of non-binary trans identification appears to have stopped growing since 2022, the rate of students who identify as trans men has continued to increase. And there is also evidence of a continued but smaller increase in the number of students who identify as trans women. See figure 3. Figure 3. Several points are worth noting about the data above. The proportion of respondents identifying as binary transgender, specifically as trans men, 0.87%, or trans women, 0.33%, is markedly lower than the 2.8% transgender identity rate reported by the CDC for a comparable age group, 18 to 24-year-olds. This discrepancy suggests that non-binary type transgender identities account for most of the overall transgender category in population statistics. However, another factor may contribute to the lower observed rate of binary transgender identification. Some youth who identify as binary transgender may select man or woman rather than trans man or trans woman on surveys. This tendency would lead to an undercount of cross-sex identified individuals in self-reported data. Finally, the rate of non-binary identification in this sample is likely somewhat overstated. As discussed earlier, females are overrepresented in the dataset, and females are statistically more likely to identify as gender non-conforming, corresponding to the non-binary type identification in this sample. This imbalance in the survey likely inflates the overall prevalence of non-binary identity in the sample. The next section corrects for the female overrepresentation by applying statistical weights by sex. 3. Females are more likely than males to report an identity inconsistent with their sex. The data suggests that over 8% of females and just under 5% of males do not identify with their sex, which has been categorized by the HA-NCHA as a non-cisgender identity. It is important to understand the methodology behind these numbers to interpret these findings. Starting in spring 2021, the HA-NCHA amended its prior approach to quantifying transgender identities, see the Spring 2021 HA Report, P3, RSX. Rather than relying exclusively on identity-related self-reports, the researchers themselves classified students as cisgender or transgender nonconforming by comparing the answers to 3 questions. Question 67A, what sex were you assigned at birth? Male, female, intersex. Question 67B, do you identify as transgender? No, yes. Question 67C, which term do you use to describe your gender identity? Man, male, woman, female, trans woman, trans man, non-binary, genderqueer, agender, gender fluid, intersex, and my identity is not listed. Consistency between the reported sex, Q67A, and the 2 gender identity questions, Q67B, Q67C, led to a cisgender designation. Any discrepancy triggered the transgender non-conforming designation. Therefore, this designation is best understood as a broad proxy for transgender identity. As shown in figure 4 below, 8.1% of female respondents were classified as transgender non-conforming, compared to 4.7% of males. This aligns with reported patterns of higher rates of trans identification among females. This is the only gender identity-related variable the researchers made available by sex. Thus, we were able to calculate the weighted average using sex ratios in U.S. college population. It was not a major adjustment since, while in raw data, about 70% of respondents were female, the population percentage is closer to 60%. The final weighted number by sex indicates that in 2025, the rate of U.S. undergraduate college student non-cisgender identification is at 6.7%, 95% CI 6.5 to 6.9%. A visual examination of the trend suggests stabilization between 2024 to 2025, but no decline as of the last measurement period. Figure 4 conclusion. Trans identification in college youth is at an all-time high, but with evidence of plateau. The three methods used in ACHAA to estimate trans non-binary identification, based on Q67A, Q67B, and Q67C discussed above, are summarized in Figure 5 below. They suggest the current rate is 4.7 to 6.7%, plus 0.2%, an all-time high. At the same time, there is evidence of a plateau, primarily due to a leveling off in the non-binary identification rate, Figure 5. In summary, the HNCHA data suggest that, as of spring 2025, the rate of overall non-cisgender identification on U.S. college campuses is at an all-time high, ranging between 4.7 to 6.7% and 0.2%, with a markedly higher rate among females, 8.1% as compared to males, 4.7%. Between 2015 and 2025, the rate of trans identification on college campuses increased by at least threefold. This followed an earlier fivefold increase between 2000 and 2015, from 0.1% to 0.5%. These data, not discussed in this spotlight, are available from earlier HNCHA data reports. There appears to be a general plateau in transgender identities, driven by non-binary type identities. Because these trends are relatively recent, more longitudinal data are needed to confirm these early observations. Further, it is important to analyze the underlying raw data and apply statistical weights as appropriate to ensure that the sample population mirrors the U.S. college population. 2. Findings from the National College Health Assessment Data. Graduate and professional students, starting in spring 2014, the National College Health Assessment began surveying graduate students. The twice-yearly surveys average approximately 15,000 respondents in the spring and 7,000 in the fall. The average age of graduate and professional student respondents is 28 and 64% are female. As of spring 2025, the rate of transgender non-binary identification among graduate students has reached an all-time high of 2.7%, 4.6%. There is no evidence of decline or even a plateau. The rate of non-cisgender identification among females, 5.3%, continues to exceed those of males, 3.6%. 1. The proportion of U.S. graduate students self-identifying as transgender continues to increase. As of the fall of 2025, 2.7% of graduate students self-identified as transgender. See Figure 6 below. This represents an all-time high, but is 40% lower than the 4.7% rate of trans-identified undergraduate students. The difference is likely primarily explained by the older average age of graduate students, 28, relative to undergraduates, 20, as trans-identification is inversely correlated with age in the general population. However, a difference in sex ratio may also contribute to this gap, as graduate students are slightly more likely to be male relative to undergraduate students, 36% versus 30%, and young males have lower rates of trans identification than young females. Figure 6.2. The number of graduate students who identify as non-binary other is much greater than those who identify as trans man or trans woman. As the data below demonstrate, graduate students with non-binary type transgender identities far outnumber those with binary transgender identities. As of 2025, this identity is hovering at levels nearly 4 times higher than a decade ago. But unlike the undergraduate data, where there is evidence of plateau in non-binary identities, the graduate level data show continued increases, see Figure 7. There was also a marked increase in the identity of trans man in spring 2025, but this may be an outlier, see Figure 8. Upcoming fall 2025 data will shed more light on the stability of this trend, Figure 7. Figure 8.3. Females are more likely, and males to report an identity inconsistent with their sex. As explained above, in addition to self-identification, the NCHA imputes non-cisgender status by comparing responses to the sex and gender identity items. classifying as trans slash gender nonconforming, both those who select a trans type of identity and those with discordant sex identity responses. This captures cases where, for example, trans-identified males select female rather than trans-female in self-identity questions. As in the undergraduate data, graduate female respondents are more likely to be classified as transgender nonconforming, 5.3%, as compared to males, 3.6%, see Figure 9. Figure 9 conclusion: trans identification is at an all-time high in graduate students, with no sign of plateau. Figure 10 below summarizes the three HNCHA methods used to estimate transgender identification in the graduate population. They suggest an all-time high rate ranging between 2.7% and 4.6%, PLIS 0.37%, with no sign of plateau or decrease in recent years. Instead, after a temporary decline in the fall of 2023, the rate has been consistently rising. The rate of trans identification among female graduate students is higher than that found among males, although the delta between the two is smaller in the graduate population as compared to the undergraduate population. Figure 10. In summary, the HNCHA graduate and professional data suggest that, as of spring 2025, the rate of overall non-cisgender identification among U.S. graduate and professional students appears to be at an all-time high, ranging between 2.7 to 4.6%, 0.37%. The rate of transgender identification is markedly higher in females, 5.3%, than in males, 3.6%. There is no evidence of decline or plateau. Instead, there appears to be a steady ongoing increase in the rate of college students who identify as transgender non-cisgender. Note, the extent to which this large sample mirrors the U.S. graduate school population is unclear. Ideally, this analysis should be replicated by those with access to raw data rather than tables, cautiously applying any necessary statistical weights to ensure the sample is representative. 3. Why do our findings differ from other recent analyses? Our findings contradict two recent commentaries on survey data by Eric Kaufman and John Twenge. Below, we explain why we think both Kaufman's and Twenge's analyses are premature to conclude that transgender identities in youth are in a free fall. 1. Analysis by Kaufman using FIRE, HARI, and other survey data. The analysis by Kaufman used data from a number of surveys, including the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, FIRE, the Higher Education Research Institute, Freshman Survey, the Andover Phillips Academy Annual Student Survey, the Brown Daily Herald Spring and Fall Polls, and the Cooperative Election Study Survey. Kaufman reported a sharp decline in trans identification, see Figure 11 below. Figure 11. More recently, however, Kaufman conceded that his conclusions hinge on the assumption that trans-identified individuals, when presented with male, female, and other as response options, will choose other. We do not think this assumption is sound and posit that binary trans-identified people, i.e., trans men and trans women, are more likely to choose male or female than other. This suggests that, at best, what Kaufman observed is a decline in non-binary trans identification. Even that conclusion requires verification by analyzing the question wordings and other issues related to the survey design and methodology that underpin the analysis. Number 2. Analysis by Twenge using cooperative election study data. A subsequent analysis by Twenge used the data from the Cooperative Election Study, CES, which is a large-scale academic survey of American adults designed to capture political attitudes, demographic characteristics, and voting behavior. Because the CES say MPL is not representative, the survey provides several weights to help the sample approximate the U.S. population. Twenge analyzed the responses to two items of the CES: do you identify as transgender, and what is your gender? Of note, CES had another transgender-related question between years 2016 and 2020, but this question was discontinued. While Twenge disagreed with Kaufman's methods, her analysis reached a similar conclusion that transgender identification is in a free fall. Figure 12, after reviewing Twenge's analysis, we find the free fall characterization may be too strong because it hinges entirely on statistical weights applied to a small subsample. When raw, unweighted data are used, the rate of non-binary identification slightly increases between 2023 and 2024. However, once the weights are applied, it creates a marked drop. A similar, but slightly less pronounced dynamic occurs with the question regarding the broader transgender identification. See figures 13 and 14 below. A closer examination of statistical weights supplied by the CES, see tables 2 and 3 below, suggests that the weights behave in an unusual way in 2024 as compared to prior years. By markedly shrinking the underlying raw counts of youth who claimed a transgender or non-binary identity. In previous years, the weights also modified raw data, but typically in less significant ways. The large influence of weights on the 2024 findings limits any conclusions about the trend. We provide additional detail below. Figure 13. Figure 14. Transgender identity. Twenge uses affirmative answers to the question, "Do you identify as transgender?" to conclude a marked decline in transgender identification among 18 to 22-year-olds, reporting a drop from 5.9% in 2022 to 3.1% in 2024, using weighted data. While this drop is statistically significant, the finding depends entirely on the use of statistical weights. The unweighted data show assess Mahler decrease from 5.4% in 2022 to 4.3% in 2024, which is only marginally statistically significant. As the ratio of weighted to unweighted counts in Table 1 below shows, the weights behaved in an unusual way in 2024. While in prior years, the weights inflated the raw transgender counts by 9 to 14%, in 2024, the weights reduced the raw counts by 29%, 100% 71%. The fact that the number of people who refused or skipped the question, 101 unweighted, 72 weighted, is roughly similarly sized to the number of people who said they were transgender, 136 unweighted, 98 weighted, further illustrates how assumption-dependent this finding is. 2. Describe this as a free fall in transgender identification among youth is too strong. Table 1, clean table with 100%, border collapse, collapse, border none important, border top none important, border bottom none important. Table.clean table, TR. Table.clean table, T body, TR, border bottom 1px solid, 0 important. Table.clean table, TR, first child, border top, none important. Table.clean table, TET. Table.clean table TD, border, none important, padding, 0.6m, table.clean table T, first child, table clean table TD, first child, text align left, table.clean table 8th, not first child, table.clean table not first child, text align center, table clean table before, table.clean table after, display none important, border none important, content none important. / apply bright yellow only to the final cell in the second table. Table.clean-table.highlight-last, t-body-yart, last-child, last-child port, background con, bright yellow. 2E21-22-2032-24, total sample, 18 to 22-year-olds, 1,234-3-227-1,493-135. Transgender unweighted 59, 4.8 per 75, 5.4%. NA 136, 4.3%. Transgender weighted 67, 5.4, 192, 5.97, 3.1%. Ratio, weighted to unweighted 1.14109, NA 0.71, non-binary identity. Twenge derives the non-binary trend from responses to what is your gender, with options man, woman, non-binary, and other. This analysis faces the same limitation noted above. Its conclusions hinge entirely on weighting, and the effect is even stronger here. In the unweighted data, the share identifying as non-binary rises slightly from 3.5% in 2023 to 3.7% in 2024. In the weighted data, however, it falls from 5% to 2%, a statistically significant drop. As the ratio of weighted to unweighted counts in Table 2 below illustrates, weighting altered the underlying counts in a striking way. In 2023, weights inflated the raw non-binary counts by about 41%, whereas in 2024, weights reduced the raw counts by about 46%, 100-54%. Such large direction-reversing adjustments are concerning and require much faith in the validity of the weights. Table 2221-22224, total sample, 18 to 22-year-olds, 1,234-3-227-1493-135. Non-binary unweighted 53.4.3%, 3.460s and 3. Non-binary weighted 38.1, 75.0, 62. 1.9% ratio weighted to unweighted 0.710.941.54. Applying weights, a double-edged sword. Although applying statistical weights can correct certain sample imbalances, it can also distort estimates. Dramatically so when weights designed for an entire sample are applied to very small subgroups. In the dataset underlying Twenge's analysis, the weights assigned to respondents aged 18-22 range from 0.0001, meaning a person's answer is effectively discounted to near 0 to 15, meaning a single respondent's answer counts as 15 people. While this helps rebalance a large sample with respect to characteristics like age or sex, applying the same weights to a very small subgroup has the potential of distorting underlying trends. In this case, weights created to adjust a sample of roughly 60,000 respondents for major demographic characteristics, e.g., age, sex, geography, were applied to a subgroup of transgender-identifying youth who make up possible to determine whether applying the weights improved the estimates or problematically distorted them. It is concerning that the entire finding hinges upon the weights designed for a large sample, but applied to a small subsample. Table 32021222232224. Total sample 25,760, 24,560,000, 18 to 22 year olds 1,234, 4.8%, 3,227, 5.8%, 3,135, 5%. Transgender unweighted, 18 to 22, 59. 0.2%, 10.3. NA, 136, 0.2%. Non-binary, unweighted, 18, 22, 53, 100.2%, 50, 0.0%, 116, 0%. IV. The claims of a free fall of transgender and non-binary identities in youth are not strongly supported by the available data. Contrary to previously presented data, a multi-year analysis of college youth trans identification from ACJ-NCHA suggests that trans non-binary identities in youth are at an all-time high, albeit with evidence of reaching a plateau, largely driven by the leveling off in the incidence of non-binary type identities in the college-aged youth, and no evidence of decline or plateau in young adults attending graduate schools. Binary trans identities, especially trans men among undergraduate students, appear to be on the rise. While we believe the dataset we used, ACHA-NCHA, is more robust than those relied on by Kaufman and Twenge, in part because of large subsample of trans-identified youth, which is 2,000 to 3,000 plus depending on the definition, it has significant limitations. Despite the large sample size, the average student response rate is about 10%. Further, we analyzed the publicly available information in HA reports and have not engaged in obtaining the raw data, which contains additional weights. Further still, the AANJ data is limited to college undergraduate and graduate students only, and trends among youth not attending college may differ. These questions merit careful analysis. Still, our discordant findings and our analysis of the potential underlying problems in question wordings and weights used in prior analyses suggest that any conclusions about major changes in the trend of trans identification among youth, including conclusions of a free fall, are premature. Importantly, all the findings in this area are highly question dependent. For instance, in ACHA-NCHA's own survey, the share of undergraduate students endorsing being transgender more than tripled, 0.5%, 1.6% from fall to spring 2015. While this rise may reflect the broader surge in trans identification around 2015 reported in many other data sources, the survey question phrasing shift likely had an outsized effect. The neutral question, "What is your gender?" yielded roughly one-third as many transgender responses as the more direct question, "Do you identify as transgender?" within just a single semester. This, in turn, suggests that comparisons of findings that relied on differently worded questions are likely invalid. Further, even identically worded questions may produce markedly different interpretations and non-comparable responses over time. As young people's understanding of transgender and society's response to it evolve, the same question can develop a different meaning over time and may elicit unpredictable responses. For example, the CES dataset includes respondents who did not endorse any of the gender identities listed and who instead selected other, entering write-in responses such as wombat, attack helicopter, and stop with this gender nonsense. At the same time, the question also elicited responses such as gender fluid trans man, trigender, and lesbian born in a male body. We conclude with the observation that discussions that deal with complex questions of survey design, weighting, and estimates of prevalence are best handled through publication in peer-reviewed journals. However, with journals often reluctant to host debates on trans identification among youth, platforms like Twitter, X, and Substack have become de facto forums for timely discussion, and as such, have come to play a critical role in societal debates. We thank Eric Kaufman and John Twenge for initiating this important discussion and debate. Although we peer-reviewed our work internally, it is possible that our own analysis contains mistaken assumptions or errors. We welcome comments and critiques so we can improve our collective understanding of the prevalence of transgender and non-binary identification among youth.